Bibles out tonight and go ahead and turn to the Word of God. We'll be in the book of Genesis and the 25th chapter, chapter number 25. And we've left off there last time we were together. Of course, last Wednesday night was VBS, and so we didn't have Wednesday night service together, but we left off here in Genesis 25, and so we'll pick back up where we were and continue to move forward. We've about reached the halfway point of the book of Genesis. We have reached the halfway point of the book of Genesis. And hopefully you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I know that I've been blessed, and I pray that you have as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into this chapter. Father, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the privilege that's ours to be in your house tonight. Thank you for these brothers and sisters that have joined us. Help us, Lord, as we begin to expound the Scriptures. Lord, let us learn something about you. Lord, may our hearts be encouraged in the Word of God tonight. We pray in Jesus' name and amen. Amen. A few Wednesday nights ago, I preached out of chapter number 23, and preached on the death of a princess. We know that Sarah, at the age of 127 years old, gives up the ghost. She dies in Genesis chapter 23 and verse number 1. And we preached on the death of a princess. Tonight, as we come to Genesis chapter 25, our thought will be the death of a patriarch. The death of a patriarch. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 and verse 1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, the day of death than the day of one's birth." Undoubtedly, one of the most well-known names is the name of Abraham. The name is known by both the saved and the sinner alike. The name of Abraham is held in the highest regard to both the Christian and the Muslim. The name of Abraham is synonymous with family and faith. It is synonymous with God and good. I would imagine you could ask most people the name Abraham and they could tell you something about him. They may not be able to tell you all the Bible stories that we've studied, but they could undoubtedly tell you something about this man's life. They could tell you that he was a great Bible character. And this man certainly had a good name. Now, Abraham was a great man in his day. He was highly respected among those that he lived among. And Abraham still stands as a great man today. He was a man that lived by faith, and he was a man that died by faith. And because of that, we consider him a great man. I was studying this chapter a couple weeks ago, and I couldn't help but think about this. I wonder if you've ever had this thought. Have you ever thought, I wonder what people will remember me by when it's my time to go? You see, the reality is that none of us gets out of this thing alive. You understand that, don't you? And we're all going to go the way that Abraham goes in chapter 25. And if you ever wondered that, what will people remember me for? What will people say about me at my funeral? Maybe that's a morbid thought to have, but I've thought that. I've wondered, will anybody even remember me? Will anybody ever come to my funeral? Will I leave a mark on this world? And while I doubt that my name will ever be famous, I'll probably never be one of those preachers that everybody talks about and thousands gather to hear. They'll never call me the next Billy Graham, I'm sure of that. But I hope that when I go, that I could leave a blessing behind to my family and my loved ones and the church that God gives me to minister to. I hope that I can leave something behind that they can say, he walked with God. He was a man of faith. He was a Christian. You see, I think that should be all of our heart's desire. We should live today so that if they had to give our testimony tomorrow, they could say they lived for Jesus Christ. We should want to live that way. We should want to leave that legacy behind. If they could never say anything else about you, and if they could never say anything else about me, could they at least say they walked with God? You see, we can all have that testimony. Your name doesn't have to be Abraham to have the testimony that you walked with God. Your name can be Mike or Jim or Tom. It can be any of your names. You can have the testimony you walked with Jesus Christ. Amen. When a person dies, it is customary for them to read their obituary. And we will read the obituary of Abraham tonight. In fact, we will travel and walk with Abraham one more time. We'll walk with him to his grave. I was studying this message. I was praying about this message. And I don't know. As I approached chapter 25, I did so with a sad heart. I have so enjoyed studying the life of Abraham that when I walked to the grave with him in Genesis chapter 25, it actually brought sadness, almost brought tears to my eyes as I was studying this. This man was such a great man, and he has so much to teach us that it's hard to say goodbye to him on the pages of the Word of God. I want to give you two thoughts for tonight. I'll give them to you as quick as I can. Maybe write this down. Number one, we see Abraham's legacy. We see Abraham's legacy. I want you to, let's do this a little out of order. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 first, and then we'll back up in just a moment and cover the first six verses. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 103 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." The scripture tells us that Abraham was 175 years old when he gave up the ghost. That was a long time for a man to live. Since the days of the flood, since the days of Noah, man's life has been shortened. We could speculate why that was. We'll not do that tonight. But man's life has been shortened. Therefore, for Abraham to live 175 years, that was a long life in this day. Even though those Bible characters lived longer, this was a long life in the day of Abraham. And this is undoubtedly true, because God told him in Genesis 15:15, he said, "Thou shalt go to thy father and shalt be buried in a good old age." God said, "Abraham, I'm going to let you live a long time." And he did just that. I want you to think about something with me. I didn't realize this till the other day, but when God called Abraham out of the land of Ur, Abraham was 75 years old. 75. Now he dies and he's 175 years old. That means that Abraham walked with God for a century. For 100 years, this man walked with God. No wonder it could be said about Abraham in James 2:23, that he was called the friend of God. I reckon if you walk with somebody for 100 years, you're going to make pretty good friends after a while, are you not? He walked with God and talked with God and learned about God. And 100 years later, he gave up the ghost, being called God's friend. Amen? What about that? Now, I want you to notice a few things. Notice that the Bible does not just tell us that Abraham was old when he died. But I want you to notice what the scripture says. It said he gave up the ghost in verse 8 and died in a, and watch this word, good old age. You see that word? The Bible could have said Abraham lived 175 miserable years. Or it could have said Abraham lived 175 terrible years. It could have said Abraham lived 175 depressing years. But Abraham walked with God, and Abraham was the friend of God. And so it says Abraham lived 175 good years because he was God's friend. Amen? Allow me to say to everyone in the building tonight that the best life you can live is a life in service for God. That gives you a good life. That makes you have a good life. There is no greater life than the life that is totally and 100% surrendered to God. Now, sure, Abraham's life was filled with ups and downs. It was filled with tests and it was filled with trials. But when he went to the grave, it was a good life. Amen? It was a good life. I think if Abraham would have been able to live in our day, he probably would have said something like this. Abraham would have said, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep at night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, because through it all, God's been good. Amen. He had a good life. He had a life that was lived for God, and it was a good life. Can I encourage you tonight to live for God? Can I encourage you? Can I say it's the best life you'll ever know? The life lived for God. Amen. Notice, not only does the Bible say he died at a good old age, but verse 8 says he was full of years. You see that phrase in the end of verse 8? An old man and full of years. Not only did he die at an old age, and not only did he die at a good old age, but he died full of years. That seems repetitive when you first read it. But that phrase, full of years, doesn't necessarily mean he had a lot of years. But what it means is that he was fully satisfied with his days when he died. It means that Abraham didn't just live a long time, but he enjoyed the life that he lived. It means that he died 175 and he was happy with the days of his life. He enjoyed life. Someone once described most people this way. They said, when they look back, it is with regret. When they look forward, it is with fear. And when they look around them, it is with complaint. Do you know that's how most people live? That they are afraid of tomorrow, they regret yesterday, and they're upset about today. That's the way many people live. But not Abraham. When Abraham went to his grave, I believe he did so with a smile on his face, saying, I enjoyed my life. Amen? He enjoyed his life. Allow me to say that you only get one life. You might as well enjoy it. You understand that there will never be another July the 18th, 2018. You only get one shot at this thing. You might as well enjoy life while you've got it to live. Amen? Now, most people think that if they're going to enjoy life, that means they've got to give the flesh everything that it wants and live a life of sin. But I've got news for you. The life of sin is not the good life. The life of sin is a troublesome life. You ask anybody that's given over to sin, and there's always a fuss, there's always a fight, there's always a worry, there's always trouble in their life. A life of sin is a troubled life, but the Christian life's a good life. Amen? I can enjoy life, not because I'm given to sin and given to the flesh, but because I am given to God, I could have a good life. You see, I can enjoy life, Brother Mike. I enjoy church, but church isn't all of life. I can enjoy life outside of church. Now, if you tell some Christians that, it will shock them. They think to be a Christian, you got to be miserable. That's what they think. And you can tell them, because when they walk around, you're a little worried they're going to trip over their bottom lip because it's dragging the ground all the time. Got a real serious look on their face all the time. Amen. But I can enjoy life. And I can enjoy life to the fullest because I know Jesus Christ. I can go to the mountains and I can stand there and look at the handprints of God. And I can see the beauty of the mountains and take a hike, take a picnic, do whatever I want to do, a bike ride. And I can see God in that. This world doesn't see that. I can get together with Christian friends and Christian companions and Christian family, and we can have good fun, clean fun, decent fun, and we can enjoy time with each other. Amen? And the best thing is, when you wake up the next day, you don't have to worry about where you've been. You don't have to try to think and remember what you did the night before and wonder if the police are coming. Amen? Why is it that the good life is the life where you wake up the next day with a headache and your face in a commode? That doesn't sound too good to me, friend. Amen? But you can wake up the next day having spent time with good Christian brothers and sisters. You can have a smile on your face and joy in your heart. Amen? I can love and I can spend time with the family that God has given me, serve God. This life is the best life. Abraham died full of years. Let me say again, God told him it would be this way. Genesis 15:15, one more time, says, "And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace." And Abraham died in peace because he lived a good life. Amen? Watch this. Finally, the Bible tells us not only did he die a good old age and he died full of years, but the Bible says that he was gathered to his people. Gathered to his people does not mean that he was buried with his family. Because when they buried him, Sarah was the only one in that tomb. To be gathered with his family means that he was reunited with those loved ones that went on before him. This is the very first reference. Mark this now. This is the very first reference in all of your King James Bible to life after death. Did you know that? Now, we'll learn more about life after death as we move through the pages of the Bible. For example, Jesus will tell us in Luke 16 that there's two places you can go when you die. Heaven or hell. Those are the only two choices. There's not a third. You'll go one of the two places. But this is the first reference to life after death in our Bible. And it says that Abraham was gathered to his people. Notice what it did not say. It did not say Abraham ceased to exist. It did not say Abraham was reincarnated and come back as a cow. It did not say that Abraham's life force just left him and that was the end of it. He went somewhere when he died. There was some family that had gone on before him, and he was gathered to them. There was something waiting for him when he closed his eyes in death. Amen? This was a great man, a great legacy. I hope it's said of you that lived a good life, a life full of years, and when they crossed over to the other side, they had the hope that there was somebody waiting for them. Amen? I see Abraham's legacy, number two. I see Abraham's last will and testament. Abraham's last will and testament. Verse number one. Then again, Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shuah. And Jokshan begot Sheba and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim and Leumim, and the sons of Midian, Ephah and Epher and Hanok and Abida and Eldaah. These were the children of Keturah. And if you could say any of them better, you give it a shot yourself. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. Now watch this. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac his son while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. Now, this is very interesting. In fact, I was telling the family tonight what I was talking about and preaching on. I can't remember who it was. One of the girls said, I didn't know Abraham had any more children. I didn't know he had another wife. But it seems that sometime after the death of Sarah, he takes another wife. Her name was Keturah. And it also seems that when God gave Abraham the strength at the age of 100 to have children, that didn't go away. Because Abraham and Keturah had many children together. Abraham now is bringing forth children. He is bringing forth descendants, bringing forth nations. Now notice, however, in verse 5 and verse 6, that Abraham makes a distinction between the newly born children and Isaac. Isaac was God's chosen. Isaac was God's promise. Therefore, when Keturah gave birth to children of Abraham, he would give them gifts and then he would send them away. They were not to be a part of the promise, part of the covenant in any way, shape, form, or fashion. So he gave them gifts and he sent them away. Do you realize that you and I, as saved individuals, are the spiritual descendants of Abraham? And spiritually speaking, we'll talk a little bit about this next week too, but spiritually speaking, those covenants that God gave to Abraham have transferred to us. Paul said in Galatians 4:28, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac were, are the children of promise." Now, we don't get all those Abrahamic covenants, I know that, but we are Abraham's children. And as Abraham's children, Abraham has left us some things behind. I believe if we could leave and read Abraham's last will and testament, Abraham would say, I'll leave you a few things. Let me give them to you quickly. This isn't a long message, I know, but let me show you what Abraham has bequeathed you. Number one, Abraham said, "I leave you a witness of salvation." I leave you a witness of salvation. In the life of Abraham and the story of Abraham, we learned that salvation is by faith and by faith alone. Abraham was not saved by keeping the law, because the law wasn't given for hundreds of years after Abraham died. And Abraham was not saved by doing some religious ordinance or some religious practice. He was not saved by circumcision, because he had trusted God, and it was said of Abraham that God counted unto him for righteousness that faith long before circumcision was ever given. Therefore, according to the teachings of the Apostle Paul, Abraham is a testimony of faith. He is an example of salvation. In Abraham, we see that if a man is going to be given the righteousness of God, he will get that righteousness by faith and faith alone. You can be the best man, the best woman that you want to be. You can do all the religious practices that you can think to do. You can say Hail Marys. You can be baptized until every baptistry in this town has had you in it. You can be a church member. You can tithe and give everything that you've got. You can come to church. You can go on visitation. You can do all of these things. But if you never place your faith in Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins and you will go to hell when you die. Abraham is an example of the way of salvation. Abraham was saved by faith, and if you want to be saved, you will also be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He is the way, the only way. He said in John 10, "I am the door, and they'll go in and out and find pastures." He's the door, the only door, the way, the only way. You'll accept Jesus Christ or you'll go to hell when you die. Amen? He is a witness of salvation. Number two, Abraham would say, "I leave you an example of a faithful life." I leave you an example of a faithful life. Everywhere Abraham went, he was known by two things. Do you know what they are? He was known by his tent. He was known by his altar. All the days of Abraham's life, he was a stranger and a pilgrim. And all the days of his life, he was the servant of the Most High God. Abraham was known by those two things. Abraham was a follower of God. We know that in the tent. Abraham proved his faith when he offered Isaac on the altar on top of Moriah. Abraham's life was a life of faith. And in the life of Abraham, we learn something. We not only learn that we are saved by faith, but we learn that we have been called upon to live by faith. The Bible says in Romans 1:17, "For herein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith." That means just not saving faith, but once you reach that plateau, you step to the next faith, faith to faith. And once you've tested God and proven God faithful there, in that thing, you take another step of faith. And once you've found Him faithful there, you take another step of faith, and another step of faith, and another step of faith. He said, "The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Herein it is written, the just shall live by faith." Not be saved by faith and leave it there, but they will live by faith. It'll be their life. Faith ought to be your life. Faith ought to be your life. You ought to live every day by the faith of the Son of God. Every day ought to be a day of faith. That's the way that Abraham lived. Abraham lived by faith, and God rewarded him for that faith. Amen. I leave you a witness of salvation. I leave you an example of a faithful life. Abraham would say, I leave you the example of how to walk with God. Those of you that have been here know that Abraham had his ups and he had his downs, did he not? Boy, when it seemed like Abraham had got on the top of the mountain, something would happen and he'd fall back down into the valley, wouldn't he? Oh, he'd have a great experience with God, and then there would be a famine in the land. And he would have another great experience with God, and then something else would happen. And on it went in Abraham's life, ups and downs, ups and downs. But do you know the thing I take away more than anything else from the life of Abraham? It is this. Despite the ups and the downs, despite the good days and the bad days, Abraham just kept on walking with God. That's the mistake most people make. In the good days, oh, they're walking with God, they're serving God, but then they have one of those bad days. And they make a mistake and they mess up, and that's where they quit. But if we are going to walk with God, if it could be said of us we were God's friend, we're going to have to keep on keeping on. If you stumble and fall, you're going to have to get up, dust off your spiritual britches, and keep serving God. Amen. Amen? We can't just give up. We can't just quit. We can't just give in. We've got to keep serving God. He said, I leave you an example of what it means to walk with God. It means you keep walking on. I remember when I started my first real job at Frazier's 21, 22 years ago. I remember my boss had a saying. He would say, success and failure treat both those imposters the same. He said, you learn from both of them and you just keep moving on. And in the Christian life, success and failure, we have to treat both those things the same. Learn from them and keep moving on. Some people get on the mountain and something good happens and they think they've plateaued and they just stop right there. Some people fall in the valley and they think they're done and they just stop right there. But we've got to learn from those things and keep moving forward if we're going to walk with God. I'm done with this. Finally, Abraham would say to us, I leave you the Savior of the world. I leave you the Savior of the world. Matthew would write in Matthew 1:1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What about that? Through this man Abraham that we've watched and walked with all these years, God would give an Isaac. God would give a Jacob. And God would give a Judah. And from a Judah, he would give a Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. I leave you the Savior of the world. Now, next Wednesday night, we'll switch gears. Our main character will no longer be Abraham, but it'll be a man by the name of Isaac. And we'll learn about Isaac. And then we'll switch gears again quickly after that. And our main character will become Jacob, and then it'll soon become Joseph, and we'll finish the book. Father, thank you for the opportunity to serve you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to learn. I pray, God, that you bless these words and bless this time. Help this church to have a desire that we would live a good life, a life full of years, a life in service to Jesus Christ. Lord, most of all, if there's one here tonight and they've never been saved, they've never placed their faith in Jesus Christ, I pray for them most of all. I pray that you work out conviction in their life so that they too could come to the saving knowledge of God. God, I'd hate to see anybody go to hell from a church house. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.